back, everybody. Good to have everybody hanging in with us. We've got a great second half of the show coming up. Of course, we'd like to have you guys check us out. Where, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And on?
Oh, I get the Facebook one. The Valley Outdoors.
On Facebook.
On Facebook. The Valley Outdoors on Facebook. Exactly right. So that's going to be the two places you can check us out. And, of course, the website's got all the interactive cool stuff done.
Yes. You know, the nice thing about our website is if you see a map of the continental United States, you can just simply click on a state. And it'll take you right to the Department of Natural Resources for whatever state.
Or Game, Fish, and Wildlife,
whatever their division anyway from that state. So if you need to find out, license information, limits, seasons, all that kind of stuff, easy to find on there.
It's right there. Well, and again, limits are something we're going to be talking about right now. And our guest, I went through amazing channels to find Jim's number to get a hold of him. It was, you wouldn't believe it, Don. I'll tell you later. But
okay,
I'm glad I was able to get a hold of you, Jim. Jim Justison, he's part of the Minnesota Walleye Advisory Council. And the reason that I like to have this right now is this may be coming to a state near you. It's not just may happen in the state of Minnesota and I don't have to worry about it. You need to consider that it may be in a state because we're across multiple states in the show. We want to make sure you understand this same kind of thing that Minnesota now has put as a proposal may happen to you. We'll bring in Jim. Jim, good to hear from you. How you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Good to be with you guys.
Awesome. I'm glad you could join us. So, you know, Jim, a recent article that was in the Star Tribune, and it was referring to the proposed restricted walleye limit possession and daily of four fish from six. What was your take on when you saw that? You know, give us a flavor of where you kind of immediately, what was your first thoughts when you saw the limit of four was being proposed?
Well, it's been proposed in the past. We've been, Walleye Advisory has been working on that or dealing with that and talking about that issue for the past 7 or 8 years. So this is not new to us. And an attempt was tried last year through one of the state senators, Kerry Rood, and that bill didn't get passed. So the DNR is thinking, and the DNR does a great job gathering data and managing this resource. But we're looking at the current data and saying there just is not a lot of evidence for this. And it's not just some people on the Walleye Advisory Council, but some former DNR area fisheries manager who have retired are weighing in, and everybody's basically asking the question, what for?
And
why reduce it?
And in your, like I said, flash came through as far as in your mind. What was the first thing? Was it, what in the world, here we go again? Or was it, oh, this isn't going to be a big deal, we beat it down before?
No, it's turned into what I would call in some cases, just a matter of opinion. So some people have the opinion that we ought to do it. It's a matter of our heart. It's going to preserve the resource, a lot of other issues like that. But they're not looking at the science and any of the data.
You know, and I think
or they're looking, but maybe they're not. It's not resonating.
Exactly. You know, and I will say this. You know, Don and I were talking off air, and we have differing opinions on it. But what I find is that I have a chart that shows that we actually are the most restrictive as far as limits in both possession and daily in the country. And when you look at that piece of the puzzle, it ends up being, okay, so what is really going on? Because that doesn't seem to have a backing. If we're already the most restrictive, you know, I'm looking at states like, I'll give you an example. Illinois has six, and they don't have a possession limit. We're looking at, what else would it be here, Don? Ohio, six daily. Well, you get your daily limit as a possession, so every day you go, you get six fish.
Yeah.
When you go to Lake Erie.
For the most part, in Ohio, we're probably just talking about Erie.
Yeah. Wisconsin, it's five, but you get 10 as a possession. So when it comes down to that, when you're talking about that, Jim, and you're a numbers guy, that's, you know, we know that. When you look at that, you say the numbers don't back it up. What's your take on that side of it as far as what do you think is really impacting that?
Well, let's just back up a sec. The DNR estimates, and they do a good job of it, that 40 to 50% of the walleyes caught and kept are done on the big lakes. And there's like 13 big lakes. You know, you got Winnie, Vermilion, there's just a whole host of them all the way up to Rainy, blah, blah, blah. All of those, with three exceptions, have four per day bag limits. So essentially, most of the state, or most of the fish caught in the state, are caught on lakes with four on a daily bag. Winnie's different. Winnie's got six, and you know, there's Red Lake's different. It's four, goes to four to five. But anyway, that's that part of that. Backing up a little further, the Creel surveys, and only really good Creel survey I know of was back in 1996 or 95, and it was on Winnie. In those days, there was no restrictions. It was six per day, any size fish, six per day. They surveyed over 14,000 boaters and people who fish, and I got them at the landing sites, and they just asked the question, how many fish have you got, and how many of you had your limit? Do you want to take a guess on the number of people who caught their limit?
Go ahead, Don. Take a guess.
Very few.
Good, Don. 143, so 1.1%. Now, that study's real old, and I realize that, and it was taken in June, I think, primarily. And so
my
no
brain
evidence.
Takes me down along the line that the reason that the limits weren't caught is because the population of fish wasn't that great. Is that whole true?
Yes, spot on. But, you know, that varies by lake. And so each lake of the small lakes versus the bigs are all under a DNR management plan, usually involving a lake association for input. And so the lakes vary quite a bit in terms of their stocking strategy, and they vary quite a bit because of their due to their net sample numbers, walleye net sample numbers. So some lakes have four, you know, per lift. Some have eight, 22 up at Red Lake. You're up in the 60s sometimes, so it just depends.
Right.
But all that is data that we use to talk about what to do, how to stock the lake, how to manage the lake.
Well, Jim, I think the part that comes down to it is if they're doing by emotion, they're not doing anything to help when it comes down to tourism, because as it is now, and of course, Don and I differ here. It's not a matter of if you can take the fish. It's like if you have the ability to get six fish and you get a chance
yes.
to, that's your fish. That's all you get.
Yeah.
Period.
I share your view. It's the goal of I'm going out to fish, and yeah, it's a mark of my skill if I can catch my limit.
And it's a mark that I can have a fish fry of
yes.
Exactly. So
yes.
A lot of times, yep. That's what it comes down to, and it makes it difficult, especially when you have a daily possession. That's why going to Lake Erie, it's amazing what they can do with it. That they can do with
yep.
the daily. But again, almost every state that's out there has a double daily, you know, and it's not part of the discussion right now. Is double the daily?
Well, it's coming up, Eric. It's that
which is
discussion
good.
Discussion is coming up. Yeah, and I think you know. There might be some people that want to use that as a bargaining chip and trade off and say, okay, if you buy the four per day, we're going to do this. And I'm still of the camp that, in my mind, doing it for your heart is not just the best reason to do it. And I think what it might do is just reduce opportunities. So
I agree.
I go out several times a year. I have a cabin in northern Minnesota and fish some lakes up there. And it's just a good thing that, you know, you just want to, you know, let's get some fish, you know.
Exactly.
get them when they're biting, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I don't like people telling me all I need is two for a meal or something like that. That's my business. I buy my license. I get to do what I do, what the license restrictions are, and I get to fish that way. And the DNR has done a good job with that, you know. And we're proud on the Walleye Advisory Committee. We've got a great bunch of people. Some are guides. Some are in the manufacturing side. A lot of people fish and fish a lot. And so they're providing input as citizens to the DNR on matters like this.
No, and, you know, you guys do provide a absolutely valuable resource because you're taking it from a non-political side of the fence. And
yes.
That's one of my biggest issues is when a lot of this happens, it becomes to political football. Mille Lacs has been a political football in the regulations, which is it's a mess. It needs to be managed as a resource. We probably would agree on that. I know I talked to some COs up there off the record, and their commentary has been that it's been, you know, what's going on is crazy. And what you
well,
and I were up,
we're,
go ahead.
That restriction is, you know, based on the Supreme Court decision, you know, a long time ago in the 90s. And that lake is managed with Glyphwic, which are eight of the Ojibwe tribes, six in Wisconsin, as a matter of fact, and then our DNR. But the original proposition was we're going to give you half
take
the walleye biomass, you
yep.
know, on Mille Lacs. And then how do you measure a lake? How do you determine the number of pounds of walleyes in a lake with a 20-mile diameter? So, but that isn't going to change. That's not going to change
nope.
up there. So,
no, unfortunately, it won't.
People
but
just kind of walked away from it.
Well, and the thing comes down to, Don, you and I have talked about this, and Jim, we talked about earlier as far as before off air. When you look at measuring a lake's biomass, we also need to understand that a lake's primary habitat has changed dramatically over the past years. You and I, when we were up at Gull Lake, we were talking to Tom, and I asked a loaded question. I told you this about this, Jim. He said, I asked him, I said, Mille Lacs, you know, the numbers, you said the numbers are down. Are you measuring, you know, are you trying to locate fish in the same spots you always have in the netting location? He said, yeah, and they're just not there. Well, then I'm going to counter, and I'm going to say, and I know for a fact, walleye are no longer in those spots because the zebra mussels have cleared up the areas. Those shift, the fish have shifted to more of a weed-based habitat than it has been as much in a rock pile scenario. Green Bay is a prime example. Green Bay has changed with the goby, and they used to run with the alewife. They used to migrate all the way down to the base of Green Bay and the Fox River. Well, now these fish are staying on these reefs. They're getting, and they've changed based on what's happened with the food source. The goby have become one of the number one food sources. They don't have that shift they used to have all the
yeah.
way down to migrate back. So
right.
realistically, in my mind, we need to have a consideration as far, okay, what are you doing in an adapting fishery? Well, they know
yep.
it.
Well,
but
right now, there's been a study going on, and it basically runs like this. They're looking at lakes that have been zebra mussel infested for 5 years or more and comparing them to lakes without zebra mussels. 38 lakes have been selected. We got an initial report a year ago on this, and it's a real great study, and right to your point as well. They found that basically it did not rate abundance, so it didn't look at how many numbers of walleyes, the abundance levels in those lakes or the net counts. It just looked at the walleye itself. They found that on lakes without zebes, with zebes, the walleye average shrunk by 18-20%. That's the growth. That's the length, average length. When you turn around and look at the following 2 years or whatever on those lakes, it didn't seem to have any impact on the numbers. But we know with clearer water, those habits are changing, and the habits and the phytoplankton, the plankton that the fry are eating, has gone down dramatically, like as much as 50%. So the food fry eat when they pop up on the top of the water for a day and a half has to be there.
Exactly right.
And in the cases where there's zebra mussel, heavy zebra mussel infestation, it doesn't seem like they're there.
Yep.
Or half of them are there, yeah. So So that's an issue, but they're monitoring that, and the DNR is doing a great job with that, and we're going to get more information on that in the coming months.
Fantastic. Well, Jim, I appreciate you coming on with us. This is fantastic. If you don't mind, we may keep your number and reach out to you in the future. Getting the inside scoop and being able to spread the story and really take it to the a more detailed level is what we're looking for. So thanks again, Jim.
Good
I appreciate
being with
it.
You anytime. Hey, fishing's a contact sport.
I love it.
Take
thanks.
Care.
You bet. You too. Have a good one. And we will be right back with more Valley Outdoors.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
Well, Don, it's kind of nice to get the inside scoop from the advisory council. We haven't had anybody from that before.
How many people are on the advisory council?
I think there's 10.
10 people from around the state?
Yep. Tom Newstrom is one of them.
I mean, there's several different ways you can look at what they're trying to accomplish. I mean, to me, the ultimate goal is to have a good day fishing on the water, and it's not about how many you leave in the live well when you load the boat. You know, I'd rather go to a lake and have fantastic fishing and no limit or zero.
You can't catch any?
What's that? You can't keep any.
I mean, you can't keep any.
Right. I mean, to me, I'm more about that than I am about actually.
You might be.
Right.
Which is fine, but you're absolutely in the minority. Which is the unfortunate part, because the state survives on tourism, every state, as far as fishing goes. If you say you're going to go to a lake, you can't keep any?
The fishing would be so phenomenal, they'd be booked solid. I can give you several examples of camps in Canada that's exactly what happened.
I'm telling you right now, Mille Lacs is one of them, and they have exactly what we're talking about. They've got one fish, and the resorts have withered to nothing. Tell you what, guys, glad to have you guys with us. It's a heated discussion. I loved having that conversation. We are going to be back next week for Ava, Don, and myself. We are the Valley Outdoors. I hope you have a fantastic weekend. Get outside and enjoy it.